Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they would call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week I opened up how we Americans don't like to wait. Well, good news for you this morning, the waiting is almost over. Only 4 days now until Christmas. But we all know that most of us have already started celebrating Christmas, haven't we? Parties, decorations, family arriving into town, perhaps this weekend or maybe tomorrow. We get so caught up in getting ready for Christmas Day that perhaps what we really do is rush through the Advent season. We're constantly looking forward instead of looking around what is around us, spending our days getting ready for one day instead of slowing down and enjoying each day leading up to Christmas. Remember when you were kids? The longest 2 weeks of the year were those days around December 14th until the 25th, filled with all kinds of activities like schools and get-togethers, but those days seemed to drag on forever, didn't they? How many have you said recently, "I wish it would just all slow down"? It seems like we are always rushing toward Christmas. I, too, wish that all these days would slow down. But the problem is, Matthew, our gospel writer, does not. For Matthew, it is Christmas time in his gospel. Well, pretty much all the Christmas that Matthew gives to us. And if you look closely, the text seems to be way more about Joseph. Joseph takes center stage in Matthew's birth narrative. Jesus only gets 3 sentences out of these 8 long verses that we read this morning. The rest of the focus is all on Joseph. Now, Joseph does not speak in these verses. In fact, we don't ever hear Joseph speak in Scripture. Yet Matthew makes it pretty clear to us. There is an internal turmoil raging on inside of Joseph. You see, he's confronted with a heart-crushing problem that he had nothing to do with. As he watches all of his plans for the future, his hopes and his dreams crumble into dust and get blown away. But you see, by the end of our reading, Joseph is okay with that, but only after God intervenes. So let's see what this all looks like this morning. You have all heard the expression, "man makes plans and then God laughs," or some type of variation of that. Now, while this is certainly no laughing matter this morning, this statement is actually quite true. Joseph, in our text today, displays a very human reaction to unexpected news. He starts planning. Mary arrives one day. Remember, she had been visiting Elizabeth. And the fact that she is several months pregnant can no longer be hidden. Joseph's plans for their lives together are now completely out the window, and he now must make new plans for the immediate future. Matthew tells us in the text that Joseph is a righteous man. In our days, we would say that he is a good guy. He is a good man, and he can no longer be betrothed to an unfaithful fiancée. This, in the eyes of society of the day, would be the right thing for Joseph to do. And Joseph does, being a good man, want to do the right thing. So he plans that which would make sense. See, we get the idea that he deeply loves Mary and does not want to make a bad situation worse. On one hand, you see, the village could stone her to death for her infidelity. But Joseph knows a quiet divorce would be in the best interest of both of them, so perhaps they could simply go on with the rest of their lives. You can imagine how this plan is constantly on his mind, going it over and over it, consuming him, making sure it is really what he wants to do. And we are not so unlike Joseph. There are many times where we too are confronted by life, changing events that throws everything off in our lives. 3 weeks ago, people living on the Skagit River were probably making Christmas plans like everyone else here. And suddenly, those plans change as the river begins swamping roads, houses, farms, and businesses. Now, clearly, that is an extreme example, but more often than not, we are simply forced to grind through daily life, facing routine challenges and difficulties that are compounded by a world broken with sin. A home without warning is broken. A career position meant to last years into the future abruptly disappears. One morning you wake up to a society that was built on moral values and historical truths and see that it no longer exists. Our reactions to these and many others are that of Joseph. We begin making plans. And we know it's our plan and ours alone when our plans begin with the words, "This is what I think. This is what I will do. This is my new plan." Like I said earlier, this is when God laughs. Well, perhaps a better way to phrase it is, man proposes and God disposes. Just when we think we have it all figured out, thankfully, God intervenes, just like he did with Joseph, and laid out the actual course of action he was to take. See, oftentimes it's so easy for us to get frustrated with Scripture generally and the gospel writers in particular when they leave out what we would consider important details. Like the fact that neither Matthew nor Luke record that Joseph actually talked to Mary. You see, our brains, we sort of fill in these blanks of what we think probably happened. Like perhaps Joseph asking Mary, at the very least, why did this happen? We would expect an explanation from Mary, and then Joseph not believing her. But the text is silent on all of this. Perhaps he only saw her from a distance, or was told by someone who had seen her. All we know is that he knew what had taken place and set a new course of action. So God sends an angel to Joseph in a dream. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." We can only wonder why Joseph would trust what he saw and heard in a dream rather than what Mary may have said to him. Perhaps for the same reason, Mary believed Gabriel when he came and announced God's plan to her. Together, Mary and Joseph set aside any plan that they had made for their lives and took God at his word. They believed God had a plan for them that clearly was much different than their own. And his plan would prove to be far more challenging. You see, what once was going to be probably a simple wedding and then settling down into a new home and a very common life in Nazareth now had become complications of dealing with a pregnant fiance, the birth of Jesus in far away Bethlehem, more dreams, running for their lives and years living in exile in Egypt. All because they trusted God's word. They trusted his plan. Just as Joseph woke up and started doing God's plan, we can do the same. We can be sure of God's plan for our lives because it comes from Jesus, and his word is all written down for us. Waiting for dreams or special revelation is not necessary. Now, could God do this for us? Absolutely he can. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But he never promised that he would do that for us. But rather, long ago and many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The revealed word of God in Christ Jesus is all written down for us as an all-sufficient guide. And like Joseph, God's plans for us are often challenging, and they go against what we would do, or what we think makes sense, or what we think is the right thing to do. But it's God's plan, so we do it. God's right thing is always the right thing. And the best thing when that comes to us here at Christmas. And that is his Son, Jesus. Jesus, the obedient Son, does all that the Father planned and saves us from our sins. A plan that included Jesus transposing himself with us. Jesus takes his perfect life to the cross. He dies in our place, and we, by faith, become his righteousness. By faith in his actions for us, he covers all of our sins, even the sins of our reluctance and our failure to follow and do God's plan for our lives. And we don't have to wait for a dream to know what God wants us to do. He has already told us. We are to follow Jesus and do God's will as expressed through Scripture. That also means that we do not need to get consumed with our problems, trying to figure everything out on our own, as in finding our own solutions. God has the plan, and he has the answer. Instead of relying on our own feelings, our own ideas and instincts, we rely on God and his plan and his Son, our Savior. For he is the one that we celebrate this week as Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Amen. You stand with me.